I-95. VDOT is implying that the two right lanes should be blocked, though I don't see them in cameras at this very moment. Just keep an eye out for them. If you're headed southbound, Pennsylvania Avenue, not much has changed there between Woodyard Road and Richie Marlboro, down to a crawl for an accident scene. And now northbound BW Parkway, right after 32, a dramatic slowdown. Looks like this is going to be a work zone blocking the left-hand side. TLB Traffic Center, presented by Window Nation. Buy two windows, get two free. Visit windownation.com. Carlos Ramirez, WTOP Traffic.
All right, Carlos, let's go to Veronica Johnson this evening, 7 News First Alert Chief Meteorologist.
Severe weather now calming down, but we had nearly two dozen reports of hail throughout the area. Hail was the big story today, with warmer air at the surface, colder air aloft, and a cold front quickly moving through our area. Expect temperatures tonight, 52 to 60 degrees. Tomorrow's high temperature cooler in the mid-70s with partly sunny skies. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
And at Gaithersburg, it's 71 degrees, going down to 52 overnight.
You're listening to WTOP, Washington's news, traffic, and weather station.
WTOP News. Facts matter.
Good evening, I'm Dimitri Sotis. Coming up here, a fourth body is recovered from the Patapsco River beneath the wreckage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The Associated Press now reports the crew of the ship that struck the bridge had warnings of onboard electrical problems before leaving port.
Seeking justice for families of some of the Key Bridge collapse victims in Baltimore, I'm Scott Gelman.
The Caps win tonight, getting closer to a playoff spot. 10 o'clock.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. At his New York hush money trial, former President Donald Trump lashes out at the judge, saying he's not in line to get a fair trial, and because he's required to be at all the court proceedings.
I can't go to my son's graduation, or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina campaigning like I should be.
CBS's Robert Costa on the first day of jury selection.
The juror questionnaire posed 42 questions, including if they've ever attended a Trump rally or if they follow the former president on social media. More than half of the 96 prospective jurors questioned were excused, many after saying they could not be fair and impartial.
And jury selection resumes tomorrow morning. The U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority rules Idaho can enforce a ban on gender-affirming health care for transgender minors while lawsuits against it proceed. More from Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
What the Supreme Court was saying in a 6-3 decision is that it refused to issue a universal injunction to block the law from being used at all in Idaho. However, it would allow these parties, the particular plaintiffs who have brought their case to the Supreme Court, could get the medically necessary treatment at this time.
A fourth body has been discovered at Baltimore's collapsed Key Bridge. Two construction workers remain unaccounted for, and feds have opened a criminal investigation into the cargo ship crash and resulting collapse. The White House says the U.S.'s position is that Israel will go it alone if it decides to hit back at Iran after weekend drone and missile launches. CBS's David Martin on what the Israeli response might look like.
If Israel decides on a tit-for-tat response to the Saturday night attack, you would expect them to go after an Iranian military target associated with the Iranian missile forces.
Sing us a song!
As Billy Joel sang that song to end his concert on CBS last night, the broadcast ended abruptly and social media lit up. CBS now says it was due to a networking programming timing error, and it will rebroadcast the concert in its entirety this Friday night. Earlier today in Boston on ESPN.
And there is a new men's champion at the Boston Marathon. Cissé Lema, first to the tape after 26.2 miles.
Kenyan Helen Obiri is the first woman to win back-to-back in Boston since 2005. Caitlin Clark has been selected with the number one pick in the WNBA draft by the Indiana Fever. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. That's progressive.com.
It's 10:03 here on WTOP, Monday evening, April 15th, 2024. Gaithersburg at 71. We're going down to the lower 50s late. Good evening. I'm Dimitri Sotis with the top local stories we're following this hour. It's WTOP's continuing coverage of the Baltimore Bridge collapse, and we've learned tonight that a fourth body was recovered from the site of the collapse. Those in charge did not disclose the victim's name at the request of the family. The body was pulled from the Patapsco River yesterday. Salvage teams located what they believe to be one of the missing construction vehicles and found the person's body inside. It's now been sent to the medical examiner. In a statement tonight, Maryland Governor Wes Moore says that the state will continue to work every day to bring the families impacted by the bridge collapse closure with dignity. Moore will provide an update on the cleanup efforts tomorrow afternoon at 3. Full coverage here and at WTOP.com. Meanwhile, the Associated Press is reporting that the container ship Dolly that crashed into the bridge in Baltimore had experienced electrical issues before the ship left port. The AP's sources are saying the ship's refrigerated containers alarms went off while it was docked, likely showing an inconsistent power supply. The FBI is investigating whether any federal laws were broken when the Dolly crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing it to collapse. The National Transportation Safety Board says its investigation includes whether the ship suffered electrical problems. Also new tonight, Baltimore City moving ahead with legal steps against the owners and manager of the Dolly container ship. Mayor Brandon Scott says the city is now partnered with a law firm in Philadelphia and another in D.C. to try to hold what he calls the wrongdoers responsible. Those reports come out hours after the FBI said it was investigating whether any laws might have been broken. Meantime, attorneys for some of the families of the victims announced plans to take legal action against the cargo ship owner as well. WTOP Scott Gelman is hearing from those attorneys who describe what they expect to happen in the coming months.
What does justice look like? We don't know the answer, because what is the value of six lives that have been destroyed? There's no measure. There's no price you can put on it.
Here in Baltimore, attorneys like L. Chris Stewart say they're planning to look into the Key Bridge collapse themselves. They're representing the families of two construction workers who died and the lone survivor.
They were living the American dream, fixing America's infrastructure, out there just filling potholes, not knowing it was going to be their last day on Earth.
Stewart says the Dolly's owner, Grace Ocean, filed for protection not even a week after the bridge collapsed. The lawyers say the company is trying to cap the amount of money it would have to pay out by citing the Limitation of Liability Act.
And what has been so devastating to the families in this situation is the actions of the owner.
They say the case is scheduled to proceed in September. In Baltimore, Scott Gelman, WTOP News.
10:06, a 15-year-old girl shot and killed in Southeast D.C. We're hearing from neighbors tonight who are very upset. Police continue to investigate. They say the gunfire last night came from a vehicle near the intersection of Stanton Road and Suitland Parkway.
This neighborhood is dangerous, to be honest.
Neighbors like Tierra Liverpool are devastated and fed up with gun violence.
It's like the kids just can't even sit outside and hang with each other and enjoy themselves without something happening.
The 15-year-old who was killed has been identified as Naomi Russell. Liverpool says her 16-year-old daughter was friends with Russell, and at the time of the shooting, they were together, along with a group of friends, just hanging out.
It was heartbreaking because that's my child, and for my child to have to see another child, which is her friend, lose her life in front of her is devastating. And for this being my child and her, she was out here with the midst of it, it could have been my child.
In the district, Nick Iannelli, WTOP News.
10:07 on WTOP. Campaign 2024, election judges are hired to help elections run smoothly at your local polling place, but increasingly they've been under threat. WTOP's Kate Ryan sits down with Maryland's elections administrator on a new law to provide more protection.
Elections judges have been increasingly targeted with threats across the country. And Maryland's Board of Elections Administrator Jared DeMarinis says it has been a problem.
It has affected election judge recruitment.
But a law signed this month by Governor Wes Moore toughens the penalties. Anyone who threatens elections judges in person, online, or in writing could face 3 years in prison and a $2,500 fine. DeMarinis says the new penalties include threats against an election judge's family members.
The governor had our back. The General Assembly had our back in that they understand the value of what the work we do in a nonpartisan fashion.
Maryland's primary is May 14th. In Annapolis, Kate Ryan, WTOP News.
Coming up here on WTOP, are Americans saving more or less right now? We have traffic and weather in 30 seconds.
Before you use AI to transform your agency, you need to begin with trust. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/federal. IBM. Let's create.
1008.
Michael and Son's Precision AC Tune-Up for only $49.
Michael and Son.
Traffic and weather on the 8th and when it breaks on WTOP. Carlos Ramirez is in the traffic center.
Indeed, I am. Thank you so much, Dimitri. The southbound side of Pennsylvania Avenue, still quite slow. The accident scene happened just before the exit to take Ritchie Marlborough Road, and you got delays as far back as Woodyard Road. Rather slow through that area. If you're making your way on Branch Avenue, they do have a work zone out there once again tonight. This time it's just on the southbound side. Throughout the week they had been going both directions, but today it looks like if you're headed southbound Branch Avenue, just past Old Branch Avenue, looks like the right-hand side of the roadway is blocked off. 295 with I-295 and DC-295 are running up to speed, no issues there. If you're headed along the southeast-southwest freeway, I'm not seeing any brake lights on 395 and 695. However, if you're planning on taking the 3rd Street Tunnel, they do have a work zone in the tunnel tonight, should be blocking the left lane. Southbound 395, work crew between Glebe Road and Seminary blocks the right side, and the inner loop of the Beltway has the left side of the roadway blocked off. You're going to see delays starting at 123, and the work crew will take you all the way up towards the American Legion Bridge. Do stay to the far right. Is it time to upgrade to the safest small SUV? Well, check out the Hyundai Tucson at Fitzgerald Hyundai with its 5-star crash rating. Go to fitzmall.com for the rock-bottom price on the windshield of every car. Carlos Ramirez, WTOP Traffic.
Now we go to Veronica Johnson. She's 7 News First Alert Chief Meteorologist.
A calmer, a quieter late evening coming our way after thunderstorms started firing around noon today, producing a lot of hail. Calmer evening and overnight. We'll have skies turning partly cloudy. Temperatures will be dropping to 52 to 60 degrees by early Tuesday morning. And a cooler day tomorrow instead of in the lower to upper 80s. Tomorrow's high temperatures will be in the mid to upper 70s throughout the area under partly sunny skies. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
Reston 70, Bethesda 72, National Mall 70. Some parts of our area could be down to the lower 50s. We're brought to you by Long Fence. Save 25% on decks, pavers, and fences. 6 months, no payment, no interest. Conditions apply. Go to longfence.com. Money News 10 and 40 past the hour with Jeff Claybaugh.
The personal savings rate fell to 3.6% in February, the lowest in a year. Home builder confidence has stalled, with the number of builders seeing rising sales in the next 6 months, the lowest since last fall. After pressure from the Italian government, Alfa Romeo has changed the name of its Milano SUV because it's made in Poland. It's now called the Alfa Romeo Junior. Losses start the week on Wall Street. The Dow down 248 points. The Nasdaq lost 290. That was more than 1.5%. Jeff Claybaugh, WTOP News.
Just getting a bit of breaking news in from the Asia-Pacific markets. China's economy grew 5.3% in the first quarter. That beats expectations. However, the markets are not responding positively yet in Asia. The Shanghai Composite is down 1%. Hong Kong, 1.25% lower. Tokyo stocks down 2% so far. Coming up here on WTOP, what's going to happen next in the Middle East? We know we saw some 300 drones and missiles aimed at Iran. Very few of them made it into Iranian airspace. That was thanks to allies such as the United States. So now does Iran fight back? We'll check in with an expert who's just back from Israel. And the question is, does Israel now fight back? We'll check in with that expert next. On WTOP, it's 1012.
Warman Home Care has served our local Maryland and Virginia community for more than 3 decades. You probably already know Warman as the warm and caring family-owned company that provides in-home care to seniors. But you may not know all the services we provide to make your aging loved one more safe and comfortable in their own home, including personal care like help with bathing, grooming, toileting, and getting dressed, medication reminders, meal preparation, mobility assistance, fall prevention, light housekeeping, laundry, social support and companionship, hospice support, transportation to doctor's appointments, and even running errands. At Warm and Home Care, our care plans are custom designed so we can make sure your loved one gets assistance with their daily routine while remaining safe and happy in their own home. In fact, we've been providing happiness at home to families just like yours for over 30 years. Learn more at warmandhomecare.com.
Coming up later this half hour, the nation that has essentially banned homework. Imagine how overjoyed kids are there. We've got more coming up. We've got more news in 60 seconds.
When shopping for appliances, you want to pay less, and you probably think that means heading to a big box store. But for the best appliance deals, remember, Bray beats big. At Bray & Scarf, we start with instant savings that make us competitive every day. Then we break out of the box with exclusive package rebates on top of manufacturer rebates the big box stores simply don't have. We also offer next day delivery on hundreds of appliances with online delivery day tracking, and we install when we deliver. The big box stores make you wait for installation on another day. Don't fall for the big illusion that the big box stores save you more. The better appliance deals and service are at Bray & Scarf.
It's Spring Bray Friday, going on now at Bray & Scarf. Save up to 30% on select GE Profile and Cafe appliances, and save on in-stock GE Profile refrigerators and best-selling washers and dryers. Shop local, in-store, and online at BrayAndScarf.com, where it doesn't cost more to get more.
When you wake up each morning, you need three things. Plenty of coffee, something to munch on, and the updated forecast. Plan your day with 7 News First Alert weather updates every 10 minutes on the 8th. Only on WTOP, Washington's top news.
It's 10:14. We're glad you're with us tonight. Iran's direct attack on Israel over the weekend upended decades of its shadowy warfare by proxy, something Tehran has used to manage international repercussions for its actions. But with both economic and political tensions at home boiling, the country's Shiite theocracy chose a new path as changes loom for the Islamic Republic. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei will mark his 85th birthday on Friday with no clear successor in sight. The tensions, coupled with hardliners' grip on power and Khamenei's age, signal more changes loom for the country. Well, Mark Dubowitz, chief executive of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, joined us earlier to talk about the recent Iranian attack over the weekend on Israel and how Israel may now respond.
Israel is very determined to strike back. It may not strike back immediately. It may strike back in the shadows so that there's some plausible deniability, so that it minimizes any confrontation with the Biden administration, who's asking Israel to stand down, or it may bide its time and, you know, revenge is a dish best served cold. It may strike in the months to come, particularly against Iran's leadership assets, its economy, or its nuclear weapons program, which is expanding at a great clip.
And I assume, as you discussed this with diplomats, with military leaders there, they know better than to telegraph what they're going to do.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the Israelis are going to plan. They've had plans in place for many years to deal with the threat from the Islamic Republic. And again, I think the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ali Khamenei, as you said, really crossed a red line by sending over 300 ballistic missiles, cruise missiles and drones to kill Israelis. And this is for the first time in decades. After using his proxies, he's gone direct. And I think the response will be direct as well.
We were talking about Israel not telegraphing, but in the case of Iran, and I want to make clear here, I'm not downplaying what you just said. It was 300 drones, missiles, perfectly capable of killing people. But they talked about this a week ahead of time, giving Israel and its allies, including us here in the U.S., plenty of time to prepare. And the damage and injuries were minimal. Would this not be the perfect time to try to de-escalate it and not retaliate?
So the White House made it very clear today in response to exactly that question that the regime in Iran intended to kill Israelis, to do some serious damage. And it was really the technological wizardry of Israel's air defense systems, as well as support from the United States and other allies, that prevented that level of destruction. So I think we in the West believe that diplomacy leads to de-escalation. When you live in the Mideast rather than in the Midwest, you understand that diplomacy is sometimes an invitation for provocation, and weakness is a sign for escalation. I think the Israelis know they live in a tough neighborhood. It has to be determined. They have to hit back, and they have to impose deterrence by punishment, not just deterrence by denial.
And what about fears of a larger war? I mean, we already know about all that's going on in Gaza, and that job, from Israel's perspective, is not yet done. Does it really need missiles coming in from Iran and Lebanon and everywhere else?
Well, I think the Israelis believe, and I was speaking to military officials about this at great length, they believe that there will be more missiles coming in from Iran unless they impose serious costs on the regime in Iran and make it very clear that threatening Israelis is going to lead to a punishing response. I'd also say that if the United States were to talk less about de-escalation and actually flex American power, the Supreme Leader of Iran fears American power more than he fears anything in the world, and he's more likely to back down, as he has many times in the face of American power. In the face of American weakness is when he escalates.
It's Mark Dubowitz, Chief Executive of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, just back from Israel prior to Iran's weekend attack. top stories here on WTOP. History was made in a New York City courtroom today when Donald Trump became the first former president to face a criminal trial. The huge cargo ship that destroyed Baltimore's Key Bridge was having electrical issues even before leaving port. That's what a source is telling the Associated Press. Meantime, they have pulled a fourth body of a construction worker out of the Patapsco River. That happened yesterday. The body identified today, but the family wants to keep the name private. Keep it here for full details. Traffic and weather on the 8s, and when it breaks, we're going to get back to Carlos Ramirez in the traffic center.
Thanks, Dimitri. Very busy in Virginia all of a sudden. I-95 northbound. If you're making your way through the Fredericksburg area, you're going to start to see some brake lights there soon after the Spotsylvania exit. On your approach towards Plank Road, that's Route 3 and up towards 17 in Falmouth, you got the work crew in your through lanes letting by just a single lane of traffic over on the far left-hand side. Single left lane gets you by. As you make your way southbound on I-95, that work zone was there throughout the weekend. Southbound between the Triangle exit and the Marine Corps base. Looks like that left lane is all that's getting by as well. Single lane gets you by over on the left. Some folks are taking Route 1, but it gets pretty crowded pretty quickly, so weigh your options. Inner loop of the Beltway, you're very slow from I-95 till just before Braddock Road. Work zone out there once again tonight, blocking off the right-hand side of the roadway. Stay down towards the center and towards the left. Inner loop headed just after 123. Between about Route 7 and the Dulles Toll Road is where the delays are really starting to build, but the work crew is just after the Dulles Toll Road. Blocking off the left-hand side of the roadway, should be down to a single lane on the right here momentarily. If you're making your way in Maryland, southbound side of Pennsylvania Avenue, still jammed up between Woodyard Road and Richie Marlboro for an accident scene. Watch out for it. You want to look at your phone when driving, but you won't because it's dangerous, and they give tickets away for distracted driving in D.C. Chin up. Don't let distracted driving bring you down. Carlos Ramirez, WTOP Traffic.
7 News First Alert Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson.
Pretty much done with severe weather here this evening. Your southern zone seeing the last of the rain, moderate rain moving through, but we'll have things quiet down dramatically for overnight as skies clear and turn partly cloudy. Temperatures will continue to drop to about 52 to 60 degrees by early Tuesday morning, and a cooler day is on tap for tomorrow. Partly sunny skies with temperatures ranging from 74 to 79 degrees. Expect 60s for Wednesday, a much cooler day. But here comes the next weathermaker bringing a chance of rain and a few storms, 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
At the wharf in D.C., we're at 70, National Harbor 70, Sterling 71 degrees. Some parts of our area could be down to 52. We're brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Prevent costly water damage and protect your home's health with Gutter Helmet, 888-5-HELMET. One country in Europe has decided now to, if not ban homework, to cut way back on it, arguing that children shouldn't work remotely and should work harder in the classroom. We'll get into that a little bit coming up next on WTOP. We have more news in 60 seconds.
Prince George's County elected officials are rallying behind David Trone for Senate. Derek Leon Davis, former councilman.
I believe David Trone always approaches this job from the perspective of doing the right thing.
Denny Taveras, delegate.
He's provided opportunities for returning citizens before it became popular. He was someone who provided health insurance for same-sex couples before it was popular. He has a proven track record.
Crystal Oriata, councilwoman.
He's someone that's honest in politics, which is rare. It is so important to have elected officials that are not afraid to go against insurance, big industry.
Not being bound by financial interest is a blessing. You can go out and fix problems.
We need somebody that can walk into different rooms and get things done.
I worked for 16 years here in Prince George's County. I'm voting for David Trone for Senate.
I'm David Trone, and I approve this message.
Paid for by David Trone for Maryland.
You're listening to WTOP News.
Now 10:22 on WTOP. I'm Dimitri Sotis. Thanks for being with us. A warning, this next story contains some graphic information. A 31-year-old Germantown mom has been sentenced to 25 years in prison on charges including first-degree child abuse. Kimberly Tyler was convicted last December of punishing her 8-year-old son by setting him on fire. It happened in May of 2020, according to authorities and prosecutors, when Tyler poured rubbing alcohol in her son's hand and lit it on fire. That was as punishment for him eating cereal and causing a mess. The fire spread out of control, burning him from his torso to his head. The child's stepmother, Charisse Snorgrass Tyler, pleaded guilty to neglect of a minor and was sentenced to half a year in prison. We've been telling you about the tragic story of two boys who were fighting for their lives after being rescued from a burning home in Fairfax County last week. Now, WTOP's Mike Murillo provides the sad update.
Since the fire at the Clifton home last Wednesday, 3-year-old Zachariah and 6-year-old William Bryce had been in critical condition at the hospital. Now their father, James Bryce, in a Facebook post says his two young sons have died. Bryce says the loss has left the family both devastated and heartbroken. According to our news partners, WJLA, the parents say the two boys were unresponsive for 45 minutes after they were pulled from the burning home last week. And this weekend, their parents were told the two were showing symptoms of brain death. It's still unclear what led to the fire. Mike Murillo, WTOP News.
10:23 here on WTOP. The budget passed by Maryland lawmakers last week includes tens of millions of dollars toward health care in Prince George's County. WTOP's John Doman visited one hospital with big plans for the future after getting some of that cash.
Every day, hundreds of people from in and around Fort Washington are in a hospital that's not this Adventist Fort Washington Medical Center near Route 210. $10 million is the first piece of a much bigger commitment to build a much bigger facility just a couple of miles up the road.
The hospital was needed yesterday, not tomorrow.
This facility that we're standing in is the one where we needed tractor trailers during COVID-19 to care for the sheer volume of patients.
County Executive Angela Alsobrook says this is just about getting on par with other parts of the region when it comes to health care access.
Uninsured population is less than 4%.
Unmi Shims, the president of the hospital here.
Despite that, the area lacks health care access.
In Fort Washington, John Dome in WTOP News.
If you feel like you could use more sleep, you've got a lot of company. A new Gallup poll has found almost 60% of Americans say they'd feel better if they could get more sleep. Just about 42% are content with the amount of sleep they're getting. Women younger than 50 are most likely to report they're not getting enough rest. Just 26% of those surveyed say they get 8 hours or more of sleep per night, which is, of course, recommended by sleep experts. If your kid suddenly asked to move to Poland, that's because the country just banned homework. Teachers are no longer allowed to assign it to kids below the third grade. And until high school, homework can no longer count toward a kid's final grade. Some parents are not crazy about it, but the government says it's time to move away from remote learning and focus more on critical thinking in class.
Sports at 25 and 55 on WTOP.
10:25. We're going to Rob Woodfork.
All right, the Capitals' playoff hopes are alive and well after a 2-0 victory over the Boston Bruins. Nick Dowd told Monumental Network everything went according to plan.
We were determined to get that puck over the red line and get it in forecheck. I mean, you're not going to be successful every single time, right? But you stay consistent.